Hey, glad you made it. Great testimony, you guys. That's awesome to shine for Christ and be bold enough to share the things about the Lord. And God gives all those wonderful opportunities to us. And, you know, Joel 3:10, I was, you know, teaching about the Spirit of God really laid on in weaknesses, you know, speak strength. Joel 3:10. Now, what does the Bible say about saying, let the weak say? Look at that. Let the weak say I'm strong.
Yeah.
Well, when you're weak, really weak, you don't feel like saying you're strong. You feel like saying I'm weak, right? But let the weak say, well, why don't we make a little confession then?
Yeah.
Let's say it.
I'm strong.
Now, say this. I'm strong.
I'm
say this. I'm strong.
I'm
and let's say, I'm strong.
I'm
oh, boy, I had some gumption in that one. Isn't that something? See, that's faith to say I'm strong when you really seem to be the opposite. And that's the power of it. So I thought you did such a good job this morning. And I think I know how we're going to go this evening. My wife's going to get up and share something she's been working on for a year and a half. Very, very diligently. That involves a very huge need. Now, before you do, honey, I want to share a story about Pastor. Now, let me say, I do feel like family. I've been here enough that I really do
Absolutely.
Feel like family. I really do. And you know, just love coming here. It's just a great trip. And, you know, and the reason why, and you may not know this, but the reason why Pastor has me back is because I saved his life.
Yes.
And how many of y'all know when you save someone's life, you feel pretty indebted to have them back.
Amen.
So, and I asked him, I know he didn't tell you how I saved his life, so I want to tell you how I saved Pastor's life. Well, he's kind of like me, you know, younger. And when I was in New Mexico, I learned how to ride horses. As a matter of fact, Frank Suazo gave me a 3-year-old horse. He said, now you got a breaker. That was a very interesting time, breaking that horse. And so as a result, I learned to ride a lot. We used to go up in the mountains and you know, look for cattle, work cattle. We even drove them down like you see in the chuck wagon.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the chaps on, the whip area. It was just great. Just super. So I learned how to ride a lot. So we had some free moments, and so I just, hey, do you ride horses? And, you know, and used to. And he's like, yeah, I used to ride. I go, well, would you be open that we just go for a ride? And so, you know, you go to a place where they have horses and all that. And so you're in the corral, and they let you pick the horse you want. And so there's this really high-spirited animal. I mean, eyes are bright, and, you know, it would just breathe, and smoke would come out of the nostrils. And, you know, on the wood inside, it's all, you know, fresh wood where it's been kicking around and stuff. So Pastor says, I want that horse. I go, Pastor, wait. Bruce, come on. That is a wild spirited animal right there. And I don't know. You want to be really careful. You know what he said? It's okay, Brother David. I got dominion over the animals of the land.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor, go right ahead. And I picked the horse I'm going to call Mr. Baduka.
Yeah.
You remember the cartoon? The horse goes, ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. That's the horse I picked. No teeth, head hangs down, tail hangs down. So we're riding the first 20 minutes, and it's just going fine. You know, I'm doing fine. Pastor Bruce doing okay, but then all of a sudden, this horse gets a little wild, and it's up this way, down this way, up this way. And his eyes were that big trying to hang on to that horse. And I knew right there, Pastor Bruce is in trouble. So I've jumped off my horse. I run into the manager of Walmart and said, you better unplug that horse. Pastor Bush is in trouble, bless God. So now you know how I saved his life. So that's how we end up coming back. Yeah, you're a good man. Both of you are wonderful. All right, honey, you want to come up and share about that you've been working on for so long and so diligently? And this is, we just got it ready for just now. It's just the brand, this is just got printed. Okay.
Okay. So I stand up, my mind sits down. this is called Divorce Medics. A lot of churches don't like to talk about divorce, but it does happen, unfortunately, in churches. Even more so now than it used to many years ago. You used to never hear of it. But unfortunately, years ago, I went through a divorce, and it was very traumatizing for me. So there was times that I didn't think that I was really going to make it through. And I would be going down the hall at work just praying, God, you know, just help me to get through this day. So a friend of mine told me, you need to find a support group. And so I did that. And it really changed my life. Now, God is always with us, and we know that, and I knew that. But there are times that you need someone to talk to. And I needed someone, and God knew it. The only problem was is when I went to the groups, if I missed, then I was not able to glean anything. So there was weeks that, you know, I felt alone, you know, and your family only wants to listen so much. So anyway, I thought, you know, God, get me through this, and I will do whatever you want me to do. And I have to tell you this real quick. So at the time when I said that, God just put in my mind Tennessee. And I thought, Tennessee, where did that come from? I'm never going to Tennessee. That's cold in Tennessee. So now I'm in Tennessee. But anyway, so God is always with us. But so I thought, you know, God, help me to help someone else through this. So I began to work on a manual. And my sister had told me, she said, I want you to document everything you're going through. Because one day you're going to use it. And I didn't realize what was going on, what God was going to do. So in this manual, it goes through the steps of divorce and what you are faced with. It's a bereavement, which is, you know, the depression, the anger, the, you know, all the steps of it and how to get through that. And so I was able to utilize some of the journal in it and also some testimonies from other people on what they went through. And in a group, you can also glean from other people how to get through things and what to do, because you don't know what to do with your life. And so I was able to do that, and God gave me a lot of scriptures to, you know, put into the book and everything with it. And then it talks about, you know, living a victorious life after you get through all the junk and how to get through victoriously and how to kind of get your life back on the right track. So anyway, that's what this book is about. This is a support group book for group, but it's also an individual. If you don't have a group, then you can get the book and you can kind of go through it and still glean a whole lot out of this book. But we encourage a support group, or if you are interested in a support group, you know, then they also have the leader's manual that kind of goes in a little more depth. So anyway, I thank God for it. I thank him that he got us through it. Amen. Because it took a while to get it all together. And I just believe that God is going to bless. And for anyone that you may know, you know, that's going through it, it may be good, you know, for them. But God bless you. I know that God's going to do a great work in our midst. So thank you.
Thank you, honey. Praise the Lord. Thanks, honey. Well, it's there at the table if you want that. She has worked so diligently. I mean, it really takes a lot to write anything. And so she's a year and a half just over and over and over it. So if you think it would be helpful to you or helpful to someone else, then it's available. I just know it's a very dramatic thing when divorce happens. And, you know, and the way it is, people either go through it or they've been touched by it or the family's been touched by it. It's just really dramatic, and people just need an aid and a help to get through all that. So, you know, that's how God does it. When God said Tennessee, I live in Tennessee. So I think God had a little plan, and so she saw me, she chased me, and she got me, praise God. That's right, honey? Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. And if you believe that, I got some good land for sale in Florida, yeah, okay. Anyway, that's available to you. And listen, we were talking about what does the Bible say about saying. I've got a series called Obtaining God's Promises. And the first, the ones is, what does the Bible say about saying? And we kind of like dealt with the same thing, you know, the buzzwords, and, you know, the Bible does say things we're to say. So that's what that will reiterate what we talked about somewhat this morning. So who hasn't received a CD yet, but you'd like to have one, you'd like to listen to it? Sure, there you go. And the other one's called,
thank you.
You're welcome. Someone raise their hand over here. Obtaining God's Promises. So this deals with how to obtain God's promises. And yeah, sure. Was it Dorsa? One of these days, I'm going to get names right in Jesus' name. Dasa. Thank you. You know, did I still get it wrong? Oh, man. Let's see. What's my name? Hang on a second here. Let me... Oh, Dave Husky. That's right. Dear Lord. Y'all got to pray and confess with me when it comes to... Dear Lord Jesus, have mercy. Thank you. All right. Anyway, I'm glad you got the CD. Hope it does you well. And all right, we're going to go in a direction that I thought we were going this morning. So we're going to get to go there now. And go to, where's a good place to start? Go to John 17. John 17. That should be a good place to start. Yeah, it's a good place. John 17. And I want to read two very interesting scriptures to you that even though we read our Bible a lot, I think sometimes we don't capture this or see it. And I remember I've been in ministry for, 25 years, and someone read John 17:3, and I went, golly, I never saw that. And I'll probably read John who knows how many times. So here we go, John 17:3. And this is eternal life. Jesus is speaking here. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have seen. And this is eternal life. See, we just thought eternal life as being, I'm going to live forever. I have eternal life, I'm going to live forever. But we know this, that life there is Zoe, Z-O-E, meaning the God kind of life. You know, Jesus said, I've come to give life, and I've come to give life abundantly. Well, aren't we already living? Yes, but He came to give life above, living life above, a soul life. That's the Zoe. He came to give us the God kind of life. The God kind. The God kind that can affect your body, that can rise up and change your body. The God kind of life that I can live in and operate in and have the kingdom of God and rulership within my influence in those things. So it's called eternal life. But eternal life, really in its essence, if you read that scripture, eternal life, this is eternal life. What is? That we may know you. Eternal life is not just I'm going to live forever. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is I know God. I have experience with God. God has experience with me. God talks to me. Matter of fact, Pastor Bruce is sharing his story about, or a man, cousin, was it? No. Ex-brother-in-law would come over. Mr. Bruce said he'd come in and he's gone, you know. And he wasn't where he's at now. And finally he just got cornered and he would just say, well, the Lord told me. And it intrigued him. He goes, the Lord told you. And that intrigued him that God spoke. And so if I got it right now, he praises. Now, Lord, if you're speaking, I want you to speak to me. And he shared a few things out, what he asked the Lord to do, and the Lord did it. And so we see the end result of that with his wonderful wife. Praise the Lord. So that intrigued him that the Lord spoke. So what is eternal life? Yes, it's living forever. Yes, it's the God kind of life. Yes, it's living that life here. But eternal life is knowing God. Now, those that know God, those that know their God, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Let the weak say, I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who... I like that scripture. Boy, if I use it a lot. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strength. Because we need that strengthening in our Christian walk. Now, don't you think that's an interesting scripture? Very interesting. Now, check this one out in 1 John, okay? 1 John chapter 5. And you know me, I like to help you. 1 John is before 2 John to help you find it. Chapter 5. Now look at verse 20. This is a great scripture. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we're in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ, and this is the true God, and what? Eternal life. There's the connection again. the Son has given us an understanding that we may know Him. What a powerful piece of Scripture. So eternal life is knowing Him. The Son came that I can have understanding in getting to know God, have experience with God, and to an element maybe understand God at certain levels. And, you know, I have two daughters, Elena and Olivia. And you know, we'll pray. Now, Elena, because she's older, we're not praying so much like before. It's more like, I bless you, Dad. Well, I bless you too, Elena. But I'm still praying with Olivia. And love those moments of praying with my daughter. So when I'm praying with her, and you know, and I go, honey, you're just the greatest thing on this earth. I'm so proud of you. And she'll say, I'm so proud of you, Daddy. You know, your heart just flitters away. You know, it's just like it's those great moments. And so I go, I always pray with my girls. Look, learning about God's one thing. When we go to church, we learn about God. That's one thing. But to experience God is a whole nother thing. And I pray that you'll experience God, not just gain knowledge, not just learn about God, but that you'll get to know God. So, Father, I pray that you'll make yourself known to my children. Make yourself known greater to me. Make yourself known. You know, there's a book called Christ the Healer, by F.F. Bosworth, one of the greatest books I have ever read on healing. And T.L. Osborne has one that's called Healing Classics. It's actually the same thing, but in much simpler form. Christ the Healer is more of a systematic, theological type presentation, but yet in terms you can understand. And Healing Classics by T.L. Osborne is a lot more in simpler form, just depending what type you want to read. So in reading Christ the Healer, when I taught Bible school in Pensacola, Florida, I had all the students take the first page on the leaf and said, now write this down, because in order for this to work, this needs to be an operation in your life. Now write this down. The truths here will work on the foundation of me walking and knowing God. Of me walking with and knowing God. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain this much, much further. But I don't know that I'll get in great detail about this, but I know that when way back when I was teaching Bible school, I had something latch on to my body, and you know, was healed of a few things before, and it was like a virus, really. And what it did, it would make my lungs feel real tight, and I'd wake up in the morning, and it was so tight, I would hack and cough, and finally I'd cough up, and this is not going to bless you a whole lot, but this green phlegm stuff, and finally get some relief. Well, it went that way, and I'm confessing the word. By His stripes I'm healed. He took my infirmity. He bore my diseases. I was confessing these scriptures. I believed them. I believed them, was confessing them, but I was receiving no change within a 3-month period. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to find out what's going on here and just be sure it's not moving in pneumonia, anything like that. And got there. He said, this is a virus. It's going down from Kentucky all the way down to Florida. Most people who are like a Big Mac truck hit them, backed up and hit them again. And I go, well, I just have this tightness in my chest. He goes, well, I'm going to subscribe some cough medicine. It's a little expensive. Listen, guys, this is like 20 years ago. This thing cost $120. Yeah, I was panning for gold. I know there's gold in this thing here. I'm looking for gold in that cough medicine. It's expensive stuff. Well, I took it just like you're supposed to. And it subsided the symptoms. Well, when this cough medicine was over with, it was all right back again. So I'm, you know, hacking and coughing. And so they had a service, you know, where the presence of God was in manifestation. So I went up to the front just to worship God and to pray. Well, as I was worshiping and praying, the Lord intervened. The Lord began to speak. So this is experiencing God. This is eternal life. And the Lord said to me, He said, you have the healing anointing. It's in our ministry. You have the healing anointing. He said, lay hands on yourself. I want you to know, I was so obedient, I did it that quick. I want healing. He said, lay hands on you. I did. The anointing went in. I received it. And I knew that 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 I knew I have that anointing. And I knew that I knew that I knew I was healed. And then after that, the Lord said, now, thank me for your healing. And I realized right there where and how I was missing God. What do you mean? Mental assent can be disguised as faith.
Absolutely.
Now say this with me. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. Say it again. Faith is of the heart. It's a faith comes out of here. Not out of here. It comes out of here. And so I renew this so this can I renew this so the heart can believe. I renew this so my heart has something to stand and trust God with that promise. And so when the Lord said, now thank me for your healing. Now listen closely. Not one time before then did I thank, not one time did I thank God I was healed. Listen, I was still standing and believing for my healing. I didn't thank God that I was healed. I was standing and believing for my healing. Now, is that present tense or future tense? Future. Faith takes the future and makes it real now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. Everybody say evidence. The evidence is in your heart. And sometimes we're believing God for something and we don't have the evidence. And we may say, you know, why in the world am I not getting healed? Why what's going on? Listen, when you know you receive, there is no why.
Yeah. Come on.
It's true.
Yeah.
When you know in your heart, there is no why. So if we're asking why, it's because we don't have the evidence yet.
Yeah, come on.
We just need to have that time with God and time in His Word. Am I doing okay here? So the Lord said that, and then I received the anointing, and I just knew, and I saw where I was messing it. I saw that I was not in faith. I was in mental assent, thinking I was in faith, but I was not in faith. So Lord, through relationship, through fellowship, the Lord was giving me knowledge in how to receive what He wanted me to have. You know, just like when I woke up and I told you I was speaking, I'm weak. I don't know why I'm so weak, and the Lord revealed, you're not in agreement with me. I was in agreement with my body. What helped me to change? God revealed in God. Where did that come through? Knowing Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the same thing there. So then the next day, so I received that. So the next day, I wake up and guess what? Hacking and coughing. There come up that green phlegm. Next day, hacking and coughing. Where did that come up that green phlegm? Third day. But on the third day, a righteous indignation rose up on the inside. And I mean, the God-man on the inside can get really bold. And so from the God-man on the inside, from eternal life on the inside, I mean, I just said, body, I mean, just like this, body, bless God, I don't care what you do or how you react, bless God, you're healed. Ooh. That came out of the God-man on the inside. That came out of that conviction. That came from the Spirit of the living God. Are y'all with me? And so because I knew that I knew I was healed. It wasn't like, well, why am I still coughing? It wasn't. That was not the issue. I knew. That's why I ended up speaking to my body, because I knew that I was healed. Because God helped me to see it. And I knew I had it. Everyone say faith is of the heart. See, the evidence of what you're believing for is in the heart. Are we doing okay? Well, that comes from walking with the Lord. It's not just reading the promise, believing the promise, and speaking the promise. That's part of it, but that's not the only thing. Everybody talks about Abraham. I didn't mean to go all through this. Everybody talks about Abraham's faith, right? The faith of Abraham. Who was called the father of many nations. We spoke about that. When he changed his name to Abraham, they said every time, hey, father of many nations. Hey, father of many nations. How are you doing, father of many nations? Look, it's the father of many nations. You know, and then the Lord, you know, reveals himself and he tells to the Lord, how is it I'm going to have a big family? I don't even have a son yet. And the Lord said, step out and look at the stars. Count them if you can. And the Lord said, that's the number of your family. Well, what do you think Abraham thought about every time he saw the stars?
That's my family.
Thank you, his family. See, God has ways of moving us in a place that we're able to believe, we're able to have faith, and we're able to make that stand with Him. Now listen to me. Abraham's faith was exercised based on the promise. He exercises faith based on, I'm calling you the father of many nations. I call things as not as though they were. I'm calling you the father of many nations. I'm calling your wife the mother of living. Okay, now, that was the opportunity to exercise his faith based on the promise. But his faith, now listen closely, but his faith rested on God himself. Faith is based on two knowledges. The knowledge of the promise and the knowledge of knowing God. Right, now let me show you. You sense that? Wow. I'm just soaking it in for a moment. Romans chapter 4. We'll start at verse 17, okay? Romans 4, verse 17. Are you ready? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God. Who gives life to the dead. Calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. In other words, natural hope said there's no way you can have children. But when God spoke, he believed in a supernatural hope that superseded a natural hope that said no way. Okay? So contrary to hope, in hope believed that he became the father of many nations. So according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, and he did, New King James and King James says, he did not consider his own body. Well, I looked this all up in the interlinear, some fancy word for the Greek, and looking at the Greek and some what manuscripts say, because there's different forms of manuscripts. And some say, believe it or not, that he did consider his own body. I read and I went, what? Now, hey, stay with me. So some versions, if you read it, says in Romans 4, it does say he considered his body. Did you know that? Some different versions. So some manuscripts read that he did consider his body. Some manuscripts read that he did not. The New King James Version, it reads that he did not. Does anyone here have a Bible that it says he did consider his body? Yes, ma'am. What version is that? It's the Jewish Family Bible, and there it says he did consider his body, right? Okay. Now, don't get all freaked out. Oh, my God, then I can't trust my... No. Let us finish a second. If you go back and read about this account in Genesis, what you'll find out when God said, okay, I'm going to give you a son, and it's going to come through Sarah. Well, when Abraham heard that, you know what he said? Oh, may Ishmael live before you forever. He already had Ishmael. Yeah. Now, where did Ishmael come from? Because Sarah said, perhaps, it's not faith, perhaps God will grant a child through Hagar. So, now guess, this is powerful. You know what happens when we start losing our patience? We start helping God out. Isn't that true? We lose patience. So I guess they thought, hey, we just need to help God out here a little bit. Maybe, perhaps he'll do it this way. Then there was Ishmael. So God said, no, this is a child of promise. This child's going to come through your loins. It's going to come through Sarah. It's going to come through that union. And that's when then his response was, oh, my Ishmael, lead before you forever. Now, wait a second. What's going on there? He's being challenged. His mind is having trouble receiving and believing that, because natural hope said, man, I'm 100 years old. She's old. This is not possible. So may Ishmael live this before you, before ever. And God said, and I know God said it this way, no! I'm sure of it. Not just, well, no. No! It's going to come through you and through your wife, Sarah. And he believed the Lord. What happened? His faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Lord, through talking, through relationship and fellowship, just deposited his faith to be able to receive what God promised to do. So can you see that? Faith is based on two knowledges, the promise and faith resting on God himself. See, they tried to help God out. Didn't work. We're still paying a price for that one today, right? But when they relied upon God, God made a promise. And Sarah deemed God faithful. And so God gave her strength to have a child. You read that in Hebrews. So there we see how that faith works. So that's what I'm trying to bring out to us, is faith also operates, yes, on the promise, exercise the promise, believe the promise, speak the promise, but my faith rests on God himself. And so from that then comes this ability that God speaks, God shows, God reveals, God does things to where I'm able to receive this promise that he wants me to have. So let me go back up again. So the Lord said to me, you have the healing anointing. You lay hands on yourself. I did. And I just knew. And I saw where I was messing it. I know God wanted to heal. I knew that. But I'm not getting results after 3 months. Why? Because I really was not in faith. I was in mental assent. In other words, Lord, yes, I believe that promise. But my heart never had ownership. See, if my heart had ownership, then why am I still standing and believing for? Because I don't have ownership. Why am I saying, I got prayed for. Why am I not having my healing? I don't have ownership. The Lord helps me to have ownership. The promise helps me to have ownership. It's the work of the Spirit. See, there's the law of faith and there's the spirit of faith. The law of faith is, okay, there's the law of faith, but then the Spirit of God will take the law of faith, he'll make it alive to me, and now it's the spirit of faith. That's what he does. I mean, has anyone ever flown a plane? You have? I got to fly a few times. Well, you know, hearing about it and learning about it is one thing. But flying that doggone thing, it's a whole nother thing. Are y'all? It's a whole different experience. So having the law of lift is one thing, but experiencing the spirit of lift is a whole nother deal. That's what I'm talking about. So Lord helps us in these elements, in these areas that we're able to have a promise and it be fulfilled, because I'm walking with him. I have fellowship with him. I'm knowing him. All right, now let's not stop there. I want to show you something else very important. So verse 19 says he did not consider. Some version says he did consider. Now, let me help you out. He did both. He did both. He considered his body, and then he did not consider his body. So guess what? Both translations are correct, but just from a different point of view. Isn't that nice to know? And by the way, I think it's really good if a Christian will read 3 to 4 different versions anyway. Because it helps to give a well-rounded picture of that scripture you're reading, especially the Amplified. I love the Amplified. I mean, it really expounds that scripture. So, you know, it's good to have where you're reading different versions. Okay. All right. Now, let's go. So let's go further. So he did both, right? So let's go a little bit further now in verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. The King James Version says, but was strong in faith. That's misleading. The word strong in the Greek means waxed strong. So the New King James Version, I think, does a much better job of saying he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So every time the Lord appeared to Abraham, he strengthened his faith. Look at the stars. He strengthened his faith. May Ishmael live before... No, it won't happen. He strengthened his faith. The Lord helped him to be able to receive that promise. Now, here's the kicker. Verse 21. Now watch this. And being what? What convinced? What kind? Not just maybe. Not like, I'm going to try it. Not like, I think I got it. He was what? Fully convinced that what God promised, there's exercise my faith on a promise, that what God promised, he was what? There it is right there. I exercise my faith on the promise, but my faith rests on God himself. In being fully convinced, the King James says, I think, being fully persuaded, right? I kind of like that. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully convinced that what God's promised, he's able to perform. I think the real kicker is being fully convinced. See, before God spoke, I wasn't fully convinced. I could have been, but I wasn't. I was missing it. And when God said, lay hands on yourself for the healing anointing, he says, now thank me for your healing, I became fully persuaded and fully convinced. Now I'm in real heart faith. Not mental assent, but real heart faith. Was that simple enough? Okay, we're still working on that a little bit. Let me give you something else. When I began my traveling ministry, I had a Honda Accord, which is biblical. They were all in one accord. We like being biblical, don't we, Pastor? Yeah, so I was in Tucson, Arizona. My mom's going to move in from California, and so she wants my Honda as a car, and so I'm driving through Tucson, and I really get with God, and I told him I said, God, you're my boss. I work for you. My mom wants this car. I need a car, and so Batman has a Batmobile, and I'm a gospel man, and I need a gospel mobile. So you said, I told him just exactly that. Like God doesn't know who Batman is? Come on, man. So he probably even watched the series. Yeah, he's a fan. Oh, okay, Lord, help us here. Help us. So I said, Lord, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Lord, I need a car. I ask you for a car. I receive it now and I thank you for it. And you know what happened? You remember the Coke machines where you used to put in 2 quarters?
Yeah.
Those days are gone forever.
Forever.
And it would go, you could hear it hit the bucket. Well, inside when that happened, it just in my spirit, it went, ching. And right there I knew I have my car. And I call it, I became pregnant with a car. I'm showing, but I've not had birth yet. Are y'all with me? Now I want to make it this, being fully persuaded. So I knew I had it. Now, the next day, the devil says, so unreal how he wants to rob. The devil said, why don't you pray about your car? And without thinking, came out of my heart, I said, I don't need to pray about it. I already have it. I'm fully convinced. I'm fully persuaded. And the Lord helped me to have that. Now, I was just praying the Lord received the promise, but just God connected to that and just made it happen instantly. Then the next day the devil says, how are you going to pay for your car? I mean, I was in credit card debt at that point, much less pay off to get a car. And I said, I don't need to pay for it without thinking, I already got it. That's the voice of faith.
Yeah.
I'm fully convinced. I'm fully persuaded. Where do people miss it? In my opinion, they're not fully convinced. They're not fully persuaded.
Yeah.
How do I get that way? I do read the promise. I read it in His presence. I meditate on the promise in His presence. I speak the promise in His presence. But I'm also walking with the Lord. I'm getting to know God more and more and more. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm so close to perfect, I do scare myself. And my wife, see her shaking her head? No, not perfect at all. Because we're just not going to be perfect. But we can be forgiven and we can become more and more and more like Christ. Are y'all with me? We can. All right. And I'm going to get there. So I'm just setting all this stage to say all these things. All right. So now you can see there that he exercises faith based on the promise, but he rested his faith on God himself, being fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God promised, he will perform. God's great. Now, God helps us to get there to that place. Are you doing? Do we understand now? Okay. So if I'm not there, it's like, okay, I'm going to keep walking with the Lord. I'm going to keep meditating. I know God wants me well, but Lord, I'm going to walk with you. How do I do this? I'm going to walk this out. Should I go to the hospital? Should I not go to the hospital? Should I go to the doctor or not go to the doctor? I know God told some people, go to the doctor and believe me. I know some people who are just stand and believe. You just have to be led by the Lord on those things. Okay? All right. Now, I want to read something to you that is so powerful. And I've actually taught it here before, maybe 10, 15 years ago, way back. And it reads, it's Dr. Kenneth Hagin. And if you don't know who Dr. Kenneth Hagin was, he had Rhema Bible Training Center. I went to Bible school. Your pastor went to Bible school. And his commission from the Lord is, go teach my people faith. I already said this morning, Mark 11, 23, 24. My Bible opens up into Mark 11, 23, 24. Because that's, now, wasn't the only thing we were taught. We were taught a lot of different truths. We're talking about the love of God. We're going to get in there. Oh, so many different, our authority of the believer, how to be led by the Spirit, your love walk. All the, it just wasn't just faith. But we did learn faith from a biblical perspective within its context and gain understanding about it. All right, so here's what he said. So in two classes, he made these statements. I went back and found the tapes and then wrote down verbatim what he said because it was so important to me for the moment. So here's what was taught at Raymond Bible School. Now, here is something that is important that hasn't gotten over to folks in teaching what we call sometimes the faith message, yet here is the heart of it. So he says, what we call the faith message, what I'm going to say now is the heart of what we call the faith message. All the rest of it that you've heard is for naught unless you know this. So we've been, this is Faith Library, what, 7. So what you've learned in Faith Library 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is for naught unless you know this truth right now. Well, he's got my attention. And you can readily see why faith is not working for some folks. Though they're making the right confessions, they're saying the right things. Fellowship, now listen, fellowship is the parent of real faith. Isn't it though? Everyone say this with me. Fellowship is the parent of real faith. Wow. Write this down and don't forget it. Thank God I did. I said, fellowship is the parent of real faith. If you find someone whose faith is weak, you may know this, that his fellowship has been broken or is of a low type. This broken fellowship does not break your relationship, but it mars it and robs that relationship of its richest blessings and benefits. Write this down. Don't forget it. Thank God I did. You can locate yourself and work on it. I think that's where we miss it. We don't locate ourselves. Locate yourself. Don't get located and don't get down on yourself. Locate it and work on it. You can locate yourself and work on it. A low grade of faith comes from a low grade of fellowship. Now, here's a statement that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Most Christians have lost their fellowship. Most Christians have lost their fellowship and are putting duty in the place of it. He gave a husband and wife example. Husband and wife have relationship, but there may not be fellowship. So I have relationship, but it's through fellowship that we partake of the richest blessing and the benefit of the marriage, because we have fellowship. Not just we're Mr. and Mrs., we have fellowship. Can you imagine? And sometimes we're serving God out of duty, but we're replacing that in the place of fellowship with the Lord. All right, now, the next day. What I'm talking about now is the very heart of the faith message. There can be no growth in faith or grace, etc., with broken fellowship, no development of faith. Fellowship, now listen to this. This is Dr. Hagin. Fellowship in its fullness is the joy life with the throttle wide open on a downhill grade. I'm not completely there yet. Are y'all with me? Fellowship in its fullness is the joy life with the throttle wide open on a downhill grade. Wow, man, I got a little ways to go on my fellowship. Okay. Fellowship in its fullness is the soil out of which living faith grows to fruition. Faith dies on a low type of fellowship. It'll shrivel up. Maintaining a rich, full fellowship is vastly important. Colossians 3:16 is key. The Word living in us richly. Faith grows in no other soil. Now, I've taught this before, but I'll have to say, it's got depth tonight. Because I can feel you, and I can sense the Spirit of God all over this thing. We're going to get some insight and some real revelation. Now, I want to talk about this fellowship. I want to talk about, okay, what helps us? What helps us in this fellowship? Good question. I'm glad you asked me. So let's take it a step further. All right? Because we're talking about knowing God, right? Eternal life is knowing God. Christ gave us an understanding that I may know Him. I mean, you talk to some people, you know, what's the greatest experience you ever had in God? And, you know, some people give a religious answer. It really was not, it wasn't anything from fellowship. It wasn't anything based on the Lord revealed or showed something. It was a religious answer that it just, I don't know how to explain it to you. It just, it was like there wasn't an adeptness of the Lord there in revealing things and showing things and revealing things. It's the only way, it's the only way I know to explain it. So now let's talk about this fellowship. Let's talk about, okay, how can I move in and keep this wonderful fellowship with the Master? Let's talk about that. Okay, back in Taos, New Mexico, where I pastored for 10 years from 1983 to 1993, it was about the third year there. Church was still struggling, but we were, you know, getting people saved and finances were somewhat better, not a whole lot. And I was invited to go with an evangelist down to San Antonio, Texas, to Steve and Becky Fender's church. Now, Becky Fender's written a lot of songs that we would know back then, especially. And I wanted to go. So I went to go pray about it. So I'm in the church. I go in this one room and I'm praying. I go, now, God, I'm invited to go to San Antonio, but it's on a Sunday. So I'm going to miss a Sunday service. And I just want to talk to you about it because I'm a pastor. I represent you and the people. So I want to go, but I want to know what you have to say about it. And so the Lord said, go ahead and go, and I'll take care of it. Now, what He meant is, I'll take care of it, was the finances. Because I really didn't have the finances. It was still tight. He said, go ahead and go, and I'll take care of it, meaning the finances. And I go, wow, praise God. Okay, that's good. I got to go to go. Then He said, and I want you to tell them how to have an ultimate experience with me. That's what He said. I said, Lord, I'm not the speaker. I'm the one invited to go. I'm just going as a pastor. I'm not a speaker. But I tell you what, if you open the door, I'll do it. You open, but it'll be you opening the door because I'm not going to open that door. You open the door and I'll do that. So prayer time's done, right? Well, I started thinking, so I know I get to go. I know God's going to take care of the finances, and I'm going to tell them how to have an ultimate experience with God, because that's what the Lord said. Well, I started thinking about it after my prayer time, and I thought, Well, how do we have an ultimate experience with God? Because I didn't know. How many know if you're going to teach on something, you ought to know something about it? Well, I don't know. So I go back in prayer. Go to John 14. I said, Lord, how do we have an ultimate experience with you? Can you pull up the Amplified, sir? Thank you. I want you to pull up the Amplified. John 14, God said, now, how do we have an ultimate experience with you, God? God said, John 14, 21. I didn't know what John 14, 21 said. So I went over here, found it. We're going to read in the Amplified in a moment. John 14, 21. Here we go. You ready? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now watch. And we will come to him and make our home. That's 23. Sorry. It's a good verse, though. But it's not the one. He didn't say John 14, 23. He said John 14. I bet y'all went, what? My Bible doesn't say that because I read the wrong scripture. Here, let's try this again. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Here we go. And I will love him and manifest, reveal myself to him. Amplified. Yeah, who said who? That's right. It's a good one. Here we go. I'm going to do like these guys do on TV. Hit the little button. Okay, here we go. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him. How do we have an ultimate experience with God? There's the answer. Now, the next verse, please, sir. The next verse, 22. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, what has happened that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? How it's us, but how come the world's not going to know you that way? Next verse, please, verse 23. Jesus answered, here we go. If anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place or our home with him. Have you ever had people that made unscriptural decisions, wrong decisions, decisions that did not please God? And when you try to help them, here's what they say. Well, I love God. Based on what we just read, no. You may say you love God, but you don't really love God. Because if you really love God, you're going to follow His precepts, His teachings, and what He says to do, and you'll want to have a life that pleases God. Is it going to be perfect? No. But you want a life that's going to please God. Those are the ones that really love God. Now, if someone says, I love God, but their decisions are going against the Word, it's like, look, you may have a heart for God, but you're not loving on God. You know, I'm not denying the Lord. See, I know people will backslide, but not deny Jesus. They won't deny Jesus, but in saying, I don't believe in the Lord, but they live life that's not pleasing to God because they're not following God's precepts. They're not doing what His Word says to do. Listen, I know one person, and they were making a decision to divorce their family and was walking with God. I was actually involved in ministry. And I was confronting them saying, look, the Lord says that a wife is not to depart from her husband. I was sharing these scriptures to help this person in counseling in these things. And you know what this person said? Well, I'm just following my heart. Yeah. I taught that here, didn't I? Yeah. How Christians get deceived with that. I'm just following my heart. I go, yeah, but it's not in line with scripture. Well, I don't feel convicted. What did they do? They seared their conscience to the leadership and the voice of the Spirit. That's correct. Did they love God? No. They did not love God. They were not loving God, not making decisions with God in what God desired and wanted. Are we doing okay? We doing good? Now, I'm talking about fellowship. If I really love God and I keep His Word, what does God say He's going to do? Back up to verse 21, sir. You're doing great. Verse 21. What did God say He's going to do? That if we keep His commandments, if we have it and keep it, then He said, I'll reveal myself to Him. I will make myself real. Isn't that knowing Him? If I keep His words, He says, I'm going to have my door. I'm going to have my place in your home. Have you ever had anyone stay in your home before? Now, guess what? You know they're there. And then when they leave, you know they're gone. Right? I mean, even when you're sleeping at night, you know they're there. They're your gifts. They're up in the guest room. Are y'all with you? You know they're there. When they're gone, you know they're not there. In the same way, the Lord says, if you'll keep my precepts, I'm going to make my home with you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be with you in your home. I'm going to eat with you. And I'm just like, wow, wouldn't it be great to have Jesus in your home? Huh? Jesus, come on. Oh, I can make spaghetti, Jesus. I can make some real good spaghetti. You're going to enjoy this. And I'm going to let you pray over it and bless it. I know it'll be even better. All right, let's go back to the story of San Antonio. I go to San Antonio. See, I'm going to give validity to this message. So I'm in San Antonio, you know, and got to meet the pastor. They were very kind. We walk out, and he's got a very, very large church. Of course, they're in a very, very large community. And this was just, it was just dynamic. I was just filled with this, the energy of God and the power of God. And I was like, wow, this is great. And he says, well, we've got our events and we have a guest with us, Pastor Dave Husky. Maybe he'd like to share a few words. Well, Dad Hagen told us, if that's the case, you got a minute, maybe two at the most, and that's all you do. You don't preach a sermon. Thank God he taught us. Well, I got up there and I went, John 14:21. I said, you know, here's a few things here. Da, da, da. In 2 minutes, I got it out. I sat down. I thought, okay, Lord, we did that. And the pastor got up and he said, well, you know, we've got a Saturday night that we don't have a speaker, but, you know, maybe the pastor would like to teach on a Saturday night. Yeah. I said, I'm open. Done. You're the speaker. Yeah. He opened the door. And you know what I taught on? John 14:21. Yeah. And the pastor took more notes than anybody else in that congregation. And the love of God was so manifested in presence. You could lick it and cut it and touch it and see it. It was fabulous. And I'm believing God we have the same thing here, that the love of God's tangible. It's a very real thing. You can get on people and you can hug them and release the love of God on them. I used to do that a lot. I just hung on, just release the love of God. Just release that love of God all over. And they'll look at you funny because they know something happened. They don't know what happened, but something happened. Yeah. You release the love of God on them. Yeah. Now, so that gives validity now to the message. Because it happened just like God said. So how do we have an ultimate experience with God? By walking in the God kind of love. Yeah. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to love God. I'm going to read His Scriptures. I'm going to do my best to obey His Scriptures. If I fall short, God forgive me and help me to live out this Scripture. You ever read a Scripture and you thought, man, that's a tough Scripture. I can't believe You want me to do this. Has anyone ever done that? You know, and you know, you're challenged, right? But God's not going to ask you to do something He wouldn't do Himself. God's not going to ask you something that's impossible to do. Are y'all with me? So it's like, okay, Lord, right here I'm challenged. Right here I'm asking You to help me. Help me to walk this Scripture out right here. I'm acknowledging You about it. I can remember being a young Christian trying to overcome a few things. And you know, I would just make a determination. Bless God, I'm just not going to do it. I won't do that again. And I did. And I'm like, well, okay, I made a further determination. Bless God, that'll never happen again. And I messed up again. This is a young Christian. Amen. I remember one time I went to the Lord about it in prayer. And I just said, Lord, help! Now, listen to me. Listen. Lord, You know my heart. I don't want to do this. You know my heart. I don't want to do it. And the Lord said, give it to me. I can take care of it. Oh. Oh. We all learn that lesson. Because, you know, not one time did I ask God to help me. I'm relying on my ability, my humanity effort to do something spiritually. Duh. You're going to fall short. Now, you know what that's called? Pride. I've got a study back there called Humility versus Pride. It's like nine teachings. I taught it when I was a pastor. And I remember studying about pride twice. I got from my pastoral desk, I got on the carpet of the floor of my pastor's office, and I got on my face and I said, God, please don't ever let me be deceived by pride. It's a horrible, horrible enemy. So deceptive. Because people that ain't don't think they're being prideful. And now I'm gonna give you an oversimplified thesis of that study. It's oversimplified, but it makes the point. Pride is independent. Humble people are dependent on God. So I'm trying to deal with this issue of growing as a Christian with my own self effort. I was being independent. I was being prideful and didn't even know it. And then finally I get to a place I'm fed up and I says, God, you know my heart, you know I want this. God says, why don't you give it to me? I can help with that. I can quit that. Okay, I give it to you. Okay. Case done. I humbled myself because the Lord helped me to get there. We still doing okay? Right. That what is that? That's walking in fellowship with the Lord. It's relationship, but walking in fellowship with Him. All right, so here we go, family God. What's going to develop me to know God more and more and more? It's my love walk. Walking in love. And I think that's why God made couples. To develop it. That went over really well. Praise God. Okay. Woo-hoo. Because there's different points of view about things. There's different issues about things. You have to learn to talk those things out. Some of them are kind and some of them can be pretty heated. But then you come around like, you know, gee, I'm sorry for what I said right there. I know that I'm the only one. Just because, you know why? We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. You've heard me say this. If you were perfect, we'd worship you. Yeah. We're not going to be perfect. So we have to be say, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just really messed up there. I got edgy there. Or, you know, I got rude there or whatever. So we're able to walk these things out. And I'm doing it with the Lord, looking to the Lord's ability. So as I walk in the love of God and I exercise the love of God, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, even to a more practical level, and you'll enjoy tomorrow. Yeah, you'll really enjoy it. I just want to talk about tonight about this fellowship of the Master and walking with Him so that we can receive all the full benefits and blessings of God. I want you to have that. I want me to have that. And I wanted to share that, and impressed by the Spirit of God, to share that story of how to have an ultimate experience with God. How to experience the Lord and that He makes Himself known. Do you ever walk people and they're talking about how they're having these experiences with God, and you're thinking, how in the world are they having so many experiences with God? It could be their love walk's really intact. And God's making Himself more and more and more known and more real. Amen. And the love of God's challenging. Example, the love of God's not touchy. Not fretful. It's not resentful. Here's a big one. It takes no account of evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I've had to work through that one. That's what the love of God is. I'm like, wow, man. Romans 12, y'all familiar with Romans 12? Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Don't repay evil for evil. As much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all people. And, you know, and he goes on then, so vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And we're to trust him. Listen, I was going through such a battle. I probably read Romans 12 30, 40 times. Why? Because I want to take vengeance. I was handed and dealt with unjustly. So I want to, I'll take care of this situation, bless God. And there's the Lord. No, no, no. And I'd go back and I would read Romans 12. Why? Because I need to keep the Word of God in my eyes, in my ears, and in my heart that I'm able to walk it out. And ask God to help me to walk it out. And I read it over and over and over because I was so tempted. Here's one, and then I'm going to wrap this up. I want to be done at 7:30. So here's one. You ready? Well, I know I'm not to repay evil for evil, but you know what I'll do? I'll just retaliate just a little bit. Just a little. Just to let them know you treated me wrongly. Just a little. See, it wasn't evil. It was just a little retaliation. You know, just a little jab. That's all it was. And you know what it did? All it did was make things worse. It just created a bigger gap. It created more of an icy feeling. It just made things worse and more aggravated and agitated. Can you all understand? And you know what the Lord revealed to me? Instead of agitating, why not just ask for my wisdom? Because my wisdom will give you the right answer with the right results for right now. So it's God's wisdom over retaliation. Because it just doesn't work. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you made it tonight. I needed that encouragement. One big amen. All right, did y'all get something? Amen. Yeah, Lord. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. But this, the Lord wanted, and I knew way in advance God wanted to go this way. That's big for me. A lot of times I don't know till before. So that was just really, really big. Until this morning, though, he changed that. But that was the Lord. That was God. So, well, we got it out tonight. So here's the deal then. Walk with the Lord. Walk in the love of God. Be open to the Spirit of God. And develop knowing the Lord. This is eternal life, knowing God. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him. What helps us to know Him? What develops our fellowship with the Lord? It's, okay, Lord, I love you. Oh, really? Yes, because I'm obeying. With your ability, I'm obeying your precepts and your teachings. Am I perfect? No. I'll never be perfect, but I can be forgiven. And I can ask others to forgive me. And I can press on further. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Amen. Well, did y'all get something?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Praise the Lord. Awesome, awesome. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And wow, were you really, Lord, the presence of your Spirit was on this. And I know why. It's for them. It's to help them. And it's to help me too. So Father, we thank you. And Lord, Holy Ghost, I just pray you'll take this word and you'll seal it. You'll hold it within our hearts, within our memories, that we take this and that we really do something with it. That we can get to know the Lord more and more. Father, God, make yourself known to us. Make yourself real. Just because you love us. Just out of sheer faith and love, make yourself real and make yourself known. Lord, I pray that we would be touched and filled with your Spirit. We'll be touched and filled with your love. Not just know about it, but really experience it. And if I've experienced before, that I'll experience it to a greater degree. Now I have a tongue. And someone may have the interpretation. Bakaso bene kinta. Laratile rotolo sokombo ludi krata. Jatalama ze ka ba ratia. Anaseke rotolo shitie. Latime lapame le makamo. Zokrode shapalintike. Masta. E jikoso kombronde. Balandike satari jebondeste. Dall'inconso bronde manekistambiritiste catele copota ambassante copata to copata ma copata.
The purpose that I sent my son was so that you could know me. You'd been cut off from me in my presence. But yes, I've restored my presence to you. My love has been displayed to you. It lives in you. I desire to spend time with you. It's my privilege to let you know me. I will come to you. I will speak to you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Love me. Do what I say to do. Know that I've called you to this place, to this time, to this hour. I know every one of your needs. But your greatest need is to know me. So come to me. In your hurting, come to me in your lack. Come to me, for I have equipped you. I have your answers. I am here with you. Rest in me. Know me. Learn to love me. And I will, and I am, revealing myself to you. So come. Come. Come.
Wow. Father, we thank you. How wonderful. We come to you. Thank you, Father, for wanting to make yourself known. We're so grateful. Yes, speak to us. Help us, guide us. But above all, that we know you and you reveal yourself to us.
Yes.
Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you for your gifts. For the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.